Skriftbrotet vi ikke tror at tas ut fra ur Markus 15 fra vers 22. Der får så vi honom ut til steg i Golgata til Skattlastav. Og der går vi honom vunnet drekka vi myrra i, men han tog ikke av. Så krossfestet der han, og der bort du klær i hans herre og kastet lot om kvært hver skulle få. Det var om tvia tøyman for å krossfeste han. Iveskriften vi tøy som han var klia av fire ljåa i så, kongur jødana. Tvær rånsmenn krossfest tog tar sjaman vi honom, annan høkru megin han og annan vinstru megin. Ta gikk skriften ut som sier han var roknaver middelen ildgjerar menn. De som kjenker fram vi spott av han, rister vi høttene og søtte, tvoi våre tær, tu som bryter nyer tempelet og bygger til oppatter etter trimen døven, fleste sjalvan og kom nyer av krossen. Altså jeg må ha to av høvesprestene hans sønne mittlom, og eisen i henne skriftlærte og søtte. Om når her han frest, så sjalvan kan han ikke frest. Kristus, konger Israels, leta nu komma ner av krossen så vi kunde sucha til han og tryggva. Jeg som tar som krossfester våre vi honom, hoa og han. Ta jeg satte tøymen var kommet, leies myskur i alt landet, og ta varte lyka til nudjunda tøyman. Om nudjunda tøyman røpte Jesus vi herrar rød, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, til utlagt, Gud mun, kvui tu færin framme. Nækra taimun og stóu her, søttu tæðar hørdu til han. Han ropar etter Elias. Men ein leip til fyllte svamp i etter og søttu han har rørst der, gav hon at drekka og segi, Bui, lat okkun søtja om Elias kjemra taka nýr. Men Jesus røpte vi herrar rødt og andaist. Ta skrattna i forhengi i templunum i tvei, fra i erva luka nýr i djöknum. Men ta i høvsmævren, og i tjastó, bætt i rævhónum, sa at han andais og hendahott segjan, sannlega, ver hese mævur, sonur Guds.
Just before Jesus died, he summoned all his remaining strength to cry out loudly for all to hear these terrible words, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you abandoned me? It is not how one would have expected a prophet, a holy man, still less a Messiah, to die. Jesus died abandoned by his God, the God he called Father, the God he had faithfully served up to this last moment of his life. If we think back over that whole passion narrative as Mark tells it, we can see how this final God-forsakenness of Jesus caps a crescendo of abandonment that characterizes the last hours of Jesus. Already at the Last Supper, Jesus knows that one of his disciples is about to betray him and the others are going to desert him. In Gethsemane they do so, and even Peter, who had been so sure he would not desert Jesus, utterly dissociates himself from Jesus. Only the group of women disciples are faithful to the end, and they are obliged to watch him die only from a distance. The Jewish authorities reject Jesus. The crowd to whom Pilate offers to release Jesus disowns him, even though some of them had doubtless cheered his arrival in Jerusalem a few days before. But by the time the soldiers nail Jesus to the cross, the deepest dimension of Jesus' abandonment, the most terrible, his abandonment by God, is obvious for all to see. The onlookers throw it in his face, laughing at him. He saved others. He can't save himself. Let the Messiah come down from the cross. The subtext there is God has abandoned him. God has let this happen and is not intervening to save him. Then for 3 hours, darkness descends. The darkness of death. The darkness in which God leaves people to die. The onlookers fall silent. Jesus is left alone to know his abandonment by God. And when at the last he cries out to that absent God, protesting his abandonment, some of the bystanders mistake his words. He must be calling for Elijah to come to save him. The misunderstanding merely rubs the fact of Jesus' abandonment in. God does not send Elijah to rescue him in the nick of time. Jesus dies. All this is so shocking, we may be tempted to alleviate it, to lift the darkness a little. Surely Jesus wasn't really abandoned by God. But we disbelieve Jesus' abandonment at our peril, because, strange as it may seem, the hope of the world and the hope of humanity are to be found in Jesus' abandonment by God. Mark's whole narrative of the crucifixion is directed to portraying Jesus' abandonment in the starkest possible way. It's the only aspect of the crucifixion that Mark emphasizes. It's not simply that Jesus, in the extreme of suffering, felt abandoned by God, as though that were an understandable mistake. The abandonment is a concrete reality. It's undeniable fact that God left Jesus to die. Yet there is another side to the matter, but one that we really only really understand if we do not play down the abandonment. Jesus knew full well what he was doing when he walked into the trap that resulted in his death. He knew that his death was God's will for him. To die, and to die that sort of death, was the culmination of Jesus' mission from his Father. He anguished over that in Gethsemane, where he had to accept the fact that God would not deliver him. And when he prayed that terrible prayer, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was not despairing. Perhaps he was on the brink of despair, but the words are a stepping back from that brink. For God is still, for Jesus, my God. Even emphatically so, since he's chosen those words from a psalm that unusually repeat the words, my God, why have you forsaken me? Even in his abandonment by God, Jesus continues to trust the God whose will he is doing. God has abandoned him, but he has not abandoned God. Something in this horror of the one who remains faithful to God in abandonment by God leads the centurion looking on to say, truly, this man was God's son. And through those words of the centurion, Mark the evangelist is telling us this is where we can most truly perceive that Jesus is the Son of his Father. This is where we can most fully perceive Jesus' deity. This is where we find God. Even if, like the centurion, we hardly know anything else about God. How can that be? Well, suppose we ask, what's wrong with the world? What's wrong with humanity? What is it that God has to put right because we can't put it right ourselves? I think if you asked around people out there, your neighbours, your friends, people on the street, the most popular answer today, it seems to me, to that question, what's wrong with the world? What needs putting right? The most common answer, I think, is suffering. If we just look around the world, all the things we hear on the news, even very recently, good examples of it, or even if we focus in on our own experience with family or friends or our own lives, there is such massive suffering. And why does God allow suffering? Why do even the innocent, like little children, those who couldn't possibly in any sense deserve what they get, suffer so terribly? Why is there extreme poverty, AIDS and cancer, war and oppression, tsunamis and floods and hurricanes? Now, without trying to answer the question, what I want to do now is to point out that the deepest dimension of all suffering is abandonment. Bad enough to know that people have deserted you and left you to bear it all alone. Even worse, the sense that God has left you to suffer and die. People in all religions, and also people of no religion, instinctively almost cry out to God in the extremities of life. But so often God does not appear to hear. The suffering at the heart of all serious suffering is abandonment by God. Even if the suffering person concludes that there is no God, the absence of God is just as real. Now, when Mark tells us that the darkness descended on the dying Jesus for 3 hours, he says it was the darkness that covered the whole earth. We could translate it, I don't know whether the Faroese translation had the whole land, but I think Mark meant more than the land. I think he meant us to think of the whole earth. When Jesus entered that darkness, his abandonment was no private misery. It was the darkness of suffering and death that covers everyone who suffers and dies in the absence of God. Jesus went there to be with them. He went there impelled by God's love to bring God's love to the unloved. His cross is God's own act of loving and suffering solidarity with all who suffer the absence of God. It does not tell us why there is so much suffering. It doesn't remove the suffering from the world, not yet at least. But it heals the suffering at the heart of all suffering. It heals the God-forsakenness. Let's go back to our question, what is it that's wrong with the world? What's wrong with humanity? What is it God must put right? Because we can't put it right ourselves. Another answer, less popular today, is human wickedness. Or, if not blatant wickedness, at least culpable failure to attend to those who suffer, to relieve or even remove suffering when that is possible. Behind much of the suffering lies human wickedness. And wickedness is endemic to human life. We know that if only we can set aside, our addiction to delusion on this point. Quite ordinary people, made concentration camp guards, became not reluctant but sadistic in making other people suffer. That can happen to anyone. We all have that in us. Wickedness is a turning away from God. It's opting for the absence of God. And God's judgment on our human evil is very simply to leave us to the consequences of our turning away from him. He leaves us to suffer God's absence. And in the end, he leaves us to die. For without God, the natural consequence of human life is to perish. The Bible says that death is God's judgment on sin. And I think that's true in a very simple and obvious way. It's God's verdict on human life spoiled and ruined by our misuse of it. When we turn away from God, we turn human life into something that is fit only to perish. And God lets that happen. And yet God does not leave us. Jesus on the cross enters that God-forsakenness too. Jesus came to seek out the lost in all the dark places of human life, to bring God's love to them where they are. Whether their suffering, the absence of God, was innocent or culpable, whether they found themselves there incomprehensibly or took themselves there all too willingly, or whether, as for many, the two are muddled and inextricable, Jesus was there too. He put himself too under that terrible divine verdict on human life. His was the only human life for which that verdict had not a shred of justification. But nevertheless, Jesus shared it in order to reach us who must otherwise perish under it. The cross of Jesus is God's own act of loving and suffering solidarity with all who suffer the absence of God. I said that about innocent sufferers. It's equally true for those who have no one but themselves to blame for their God-forsakenness. And that's why we recognize God more truly in the cross than anywhere else. It's why we see what God's love really amounts to more clearly in the cross than anywhere else. Jesus' terrible abandonment by God makes us face up to the full extremity of the world's plight without God, and to see that God's salvific love can and does reach even there. Amen.